Well, good evening. It is great to be here. I am really, really excited to see all of you again. It's a fantastic experience to be mentored by the men in this room, the pastors of this room, and to be able to take that information, that knowledge, that spirit to another city. And it's just been fantastic, but it's really good to see each one of you. And I'm looking forward to fellowshipping a little bit here tonight. But just to give you a little overview, we don't have 250 members. We're not going to start a mega church in Austin. We're going to start a giga church, or maybe even a terra church. But right now it's not 200, it's 2. So we're growing, though, so that's great. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Kings. It's funny how when you're doing something you don't know anything about, the Spirit of God just moves on you to focus on areas that you need personally. And this is an area that I need personally, and that's confidence. It takes a great deal of confidence to do, and I'm not trying to overblow this like it's a big deal. It is a big deal spiritually, but it's not a big deal practically speaking. But it does require confidence to build a church. So I don't think there's anything special about what we're doing, but one thing for sure is that I look to God for answers, and I look to God for information and spiritual direction to what do we do next and how do we get there. And got some good advice from some of the brothers here tonight, and you know, here's what we did when we built our small little church and tried to grow it. But this story is such a blessing to me, and I just want to read about 20 verses or so and then go through some things that I think are tremendous confidence builders for me, that I can draw right out of the Bible and say, since this is true, then I can actually leverage this in my ministry. So I just want to read, starting at verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Thank you. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 6, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not to such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called for his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horsemen, or horses and chariots, and a great host, and they came by night, and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So that's the story. And this is there's at least four things that really help me build my confidence when I look at what God actually does. I think about in 2 Kings where Rabshakeh says, what confidence is this that you're putting in your God? Right? Remember that question? When Hezekiah is in command and this guy is really harassing the children of Israel, what confidence is this that you're putting in this God? Listen, didn't we put down all those other gods? Yeah, you did. You really did. And so I want to sort of answer that question. What confidence is this that we're putting in this God that we have? Why should we use the Bible as a basis of faith? Why should we be so confident? In Acts chapter 28:31, and you don't have to turn there because I'm going to go very quickly tonight. I don't want to take anybody else's time. It says, and Paul preached, with all confidence, no man forbidding. As he preached, he said he did it with all confidence, no man forbidding. John, that's the way I want to do my ministry. I want to preach with all confidence and no man, woman, child, principality, power, no man forbidding. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul exhorts the Christians saying, I have confidence in you all through the Lord. So there's an attachment, there's a link up, right, between our confidence and what the Lord's doing. It's not because I'm, you know, I listen to Zig Ziglar and I know how to win friends and influence people. That might be good for some of us who are kind of rough cut. But it's the confidence I have through the Lord. It's what God's doing in me and through me that makes me confident. It's what God's available to do. It's what God is willing to do. And so there's four things that I see in this beautiful passage that God is doing. And I just want to ask four questions tonight, and that'll be sort of my sermon outline. The first question, and I'm going to go to the scripture after I ask this question to answer it, is what if we could change, think about this, what if we could change the enemy? You know who the enemy is, right? That's the devil. That's the flesh. That's the principalities and powers. What if we could change the enemy's perception of reality? What if we could sort of confuse them? What if we could confuse Satan? I remember preaching a message one time how we could frustrate the enemy, how we can actually get on our knees and pray and in a shotgun approach, pray for everybody. And so the devil's trying to go do damage control and triage everywhere while we're praying and he's trying to direct his bullets towards you. Look at verse 18. And you sort of know the context of the story. But in verse 18, here's how he's changing the perception of the enemy. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed, and this is the Syrian army, by the way. And he's praying, he says, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, can you imagine if you were in combat, mortal combat, and you said, Lord, there's the enemy over there. That's Iraq or whoever you want to say it is. Blind every single one of them so they can't see what we're doing over here. You know, some people are afraid to pray certain things, right? Because, well, if I pray this way, then, you know, the devil's listening and he knows what I'm thinking and he's going to use that against me. I'm not sure that's true. I'm kind of the opinion that God sort of blinds the enemy to some of the things that we're doing and some of the tactics and the strategies that we have while we try to do His will. Well, He was effective here. He certainly blinded the enemy. They were walking around saying, where am I now? Look at verse 20. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. So here they are, blinded in one turn, right? This is the enemy, this is Syria. Blind them, Lord, and he blinds them. And then he says, hey, come over here, follow me. And he takes them right out of Israel into where Jehoram's ruling in Samaria. And then he says, okay, now Lord, open their eyes. And what does he do? Well, he opens their eyes. That's downright manipulation. I mean, that is a fantastic thing. I wonder if we have access to that sort of prayer, that sort of leverage in a warfare with the devil and with our adversaries out there that are trying to stop your growth and to stop the growth of this church, to say, Lord, open their eyes, and Lord, blind their eyes. Verse 17, and here's another question, and this is not the one of the four questions, this is sort of a follow-up. What if we could open up spiritual information for the church while we're blinding and manipulating the enemy's vision at the same time? And that's sort of what he's doing here. Look what he says in verse 17. And Elijah prayed, and there's a young man with Elijah, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And what did he see? This beautiful arsenal of horses and fiery chariots. And so wouldn't that be a confidence builder to you?
Amen.
If you knew that you could, through prayer, because all this is through prayer, could actually sort of manipulate the enemy and work with the church, pray for the church, and say, Lord, let's get the vision straight here so we can see what they're doing, but they can't see what we're doing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? I'll tell you, that really boosts up my confidence a tremendous amount to think that that's actually potential with God.
Amen.
We can actually get that kind of power. The second question I have tonight, what if we could gain detailed insights into the enemy strategies? What if we could do that? What if your generals of the United States Army could look overseas and say, I know exactly what you're doing over there, and we're going to prepare accordingly over here? That would be pretty, that would be a big confidence builder, right? I'd feel good to live in America if we had that sort of intelligence. The CIA had that much, you know, insight into what's going on around the world, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Look at verse 8, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 12 to get the context. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. Here's my plan. I'm going to be in such a place. That's going to be where I'm going to attack Israel. Right over there. Okay? And the man of God sent and the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not to such a place, for thither the Syrians are to come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called to his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Hear what he's saying? He said, in the most intimate places of your house, in your bedchamber. My wife and I share secrets in our bedchamber, things that you'll never hear about. Guess who heard it?
Yeah, that's right.
Elijah heard that.
Yeah.
Elijah knew what was going on. I guess he was in touch with God somehow, but what a confidence builder that would be to me.
Amen.
To know what they're saying against us.
Yeah.
To know what they're doing in their bedchamber against us. Look at verse 10. Not once, nor twice. This is a continuous flow of information.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, this is something that's a repeated action. They've been in trouble a lot, but Elijah keeps cluing them off and saying, hey, they're in such and such a place over there. Take care of that business. And so they get the armies and they gather them over there. And sure enough, that's exactly where the strategic alliance is positioned. And they just take care of it. Do you realize that this is the type of God that we actually serve today? What does it say in Hebrews 13:8? Does anybody know? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Does that include today? Yes, it does. So if you lack confidence, just know this. Through the reading of the Bible, God's going to give you special insights. He's going to tell you in such and such a place, don't go. Or in such and such a place, build a church. Or in such and such a place, bring your armies and do some battle over there.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I guarantee you, I like that general a lot.
Amen.
I mean, that guy's, he's got everything in order. He knows what's going on. He's got the information. And I just got to listen to him if I'm going to be successful. The third question I have, what if we could invoke, produce nonviolent spiritual strategies to build and protect our churches. Wouldn't that be a good thing? What if we could just invoke that, spiritually speaking? Strategies, spiritual strategies, to build this church, to build the kingdom of God in a powerful way. No man forbidding. What if we could do that? Look at verse 21 and 22. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah when he saw them, "My father, my father." And remember, Elijah just kind of leads them right into there, right? And there they are. And so the king's saying, "Shall I smite them? Is this time to pick up the sword and kill?" Didn't Peter say that? Didn't Peter try to cut off that guy's ear, right? And here's the answer. He answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And this is something I believe that God calls the church to do, and that's love. We're not here to destroy men's lives. Jesus wasn't here to destroy men's lives, right? He came to save people's lives. And so we're here to feed these people. We're here to feed the sheep, and we're here to minister to them. We're not here to kill them. We're not here to be ugly to them. We're here to love them. Verse 23, and he prepared great provision for them. I like that. We're here to feed these people. They're our enemies, right? They're against God. They're the children of the devil until they get saved, but they can get saved.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And so, prepare great provision for them. And when they have eaten and drunk, he sent away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And I like that last verse. They came no more to the land of Israel. That's victory. That's doing it God's way, and that's getting total victory. I just have one more question. This question invokes the thought of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And the question is, what if we had access to unlimited resources? Brother Linda, would that increase your confidence a little bit, building a church? Unlimited resources? We've got two in our church right now. We've got 50 chairs. We've got a self-playing piano. And we have unlimited resources.
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
That's right. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Full. You talk about weapons. You talk about, you're surrounded by the enemy, but the enemy can't see what you've got. You've got the atom bomb right there. And you know there's no chance, there is no chance, Brother Roger, that the enemy can prevail. And you know it now. Because you've actually had your eyes open, and you see what you've got, and you see what they got, and you know they don't have a chance. Wouldn't that build your confidence, Brother Corey? Absolutely. Look at verse 8. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place." So we have unlimited weaponry and resources, and we have unlimited information coming our way. I'd like to remind you where that information comes from in this modern generation. It's the King James Version of the Bible. Unlimited. You know there's no limit on reading this Bible? You don't have to stop. I mean, you read it one time, you just keep reading. And it'll keep blessing you. God will keep talking to you, Brother John. I mean, He'll keep blessing you. So if you're not confident about what God can do, and I can admit that at certain times, my confidence wanes. But when I see this powerful spiritual armory that God has placed in my hands, I can absolutely be confident about the work that I'm doing.
Amen.
I have two conclusions and two exhortations for you. Number one, in verse 17, 18, and 20, you'll find, and I'm just going to read them, prayer was the channel for the confidence that he had. I'm just going to read them. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed. Verse 18, and Elisha prayed unto the Lord. Verse 20, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. What was he doing? Praying. You want to get some confidence in your ministry? Pray. David said, Lord, should I go to Keilah? He said, don't go to Keilah. And God gave him the information needed to be successful.
Amen.
And it comes through prayer. Number two, this is a secret I want to share with you all. So don't let this get outside of this room. Don't let the devil know about this one. Right? It's in verse 17. No, I'm sorry, verse 16. He says, fear not, for they that be with them, they that will be with us are more than they that be with them. Don't tell anybody about this. Brother Billy, don't tell anybody about this. We outnumber these folks. The enemy, he's way outnumbered. He doesn't have a chance. I've read the end of the book, Brother Lindell. I know what's going to happen to that devil. I know what's going to happen to the principalities and powers. We are so far ahead of the enemy, it's not even worth talking about sometimes. But he says it right here. Listen, son, young man, you see that big army out there that you're afraid of? Well, check out my army. This is God's army. This is God's resources. And we don't have to be afraid what man can do unto us. So I have two exhortations and I close. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't let the devil let you throw that away. Keep it. Hold it close to the vest because it's God who's with you.
That's right.
And number two, and finally, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 that God is not finished with you yet. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it
Amen.
Until the day of Jesus Amen. Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.